this is what my sister Kelly says to me this morning. She says, now you're back in Ohio, and now you went back to black and white, and it's going to make it look as dull as the weather is here, as cold and gray as the weather. It's just like, oh, there you were, traveling across the United States. You brought us in the living color, and yesterday you brought us back in the black and white, and it's depressing, Zender. Yeah, my sister calls me Zender once in a while. She says, as long as you're into wearing hats, well, I don't know if I'm into wearing hats. Wait a minute. The sun just came up, and now I got some terrible lighting. Hang on a second. Ooh, that's mysterious. So she says, as long as you're wearing the hats, why don't you wear that crazy colorful hat I gave you to run in, since you don't have one. So I'm wearing that hat now, and my lighting just went skafloozy, but that's okay. So I'm wearing a colorful ski cap, and if you're not on the Zender cam, you're going to miss that. Hello, everyone. Martin Zender here, and Kelly was also persecuting me on another matter. She said, you're a hypocrite, Zender. I said, what do you mean I'm a hypocrite? She said, you have told us that you refuse to go on a cruise to the Holy Land because you have no interest in these designated areas, these historic places where Jesus was, where Paul was, and yet you in California were so excited about going to the Hogan's Heroes site, the Hogan's Heroes movie site. And for those of you interested in the scriptures, yeah, hello, nice to have you here. I am going to talk about two olive trees, why Israel's called olive trees. But it's the fact that I'm really not a hypocrite, because I do not like these sites that are purportedly the places where Jesus was. And besides, I am a faith, not sight guy. So you know that I really don't want to get a head start on any sort of sight things. I don't want to see angels. I don't want to see Jesus until he's ready to snatch me away. Don't want any of it. So the fact is that when I visited the Hogan's Heroes site, where the set was, it's unrecognizable. This is in Culver City, California, Hollywood, LA. I went there the day I left Glendale to go to San Diego. It was like a religious experience for me. It did not disappoint. I went to Baldwin Hill Overlook, and the Baldwin Hill Overlook overlooks the old back 40 lot where not only was Hogan's Heroes filmed, but Gomer Pyle USMC with Jim Nabors, part of Gone with the Wind, and the outdoor set of Mayberry. No, the Andy Griffith Show, classic television, was filmed there in this little triangle area that you can plainly see from Baldwin Hill Overlook. So I was there overlooking it's now a corporate place, plaza. What do you call those places? There's a bunch of stores, but not commercial stores, you know, factories, whatnot. But you can still drive down in there, and I did it. A corporate park. Yeah, whatever. I drove down in there to the holy area, and I stood where the Hogan's Heroes set was, one of my favorite shows from the 60s. And the photo associated with this video is me standing in the same spot that Colonel Robert Hogan, played by Bob Crane, is standing in. And what you see in the background is the Baldwin Hill Overlook. Now, I had just been up there 20 minutes before I came down to the actual set. Now, the hill is over my right shoulder, as it is Bob Crane's. It doesn't look totally symmetrical and the same, because if you notice in the photograph from Hogan's Heroes, which this hill is visible in many of the episodes of Hogan's Heroes, I took this particular photo from one of the episodes. You can see there's a building up there. There's a wall that has since been taken down. That's why the slope isn't there with the photo of me, where it is with the photo of Colonel Robert Hogan. So that was holy ground to me. And I tell you this is true. You're not going to believe this. If I went to the Holy Land, the first place I would seek out was, I would ask somebody, where did they film Jesus Christ Superstar? I am more interested in where they filmed Jesus Christ Superstar than where Jesus Christ himself walked. Why? A, it's where Jesus Christ walked has been totally religiousized. It's been turned into a tourist trap. Nothing's real. Nothing's true. I'll wait till Jesus Christ comes back, drinks wine with his disciples. I'm in on that, let me tell you. In the meantime, Jesus Christ Superstar is closer to me. Not closer than Jesus, but closer than the tourism of Jesus. And so I would definitely want to see that site. All right, now I've straightened out that I'm not a complete hypocrite, only a partial hypocrite. Why are the two witnesses called olive trees? Let me refresh your memory there. We're in chapter 11. I swear we're going to get through these two witnesses and we're going to graduate. And yeah, I know my lighting's weird now. My beard looks like it's black, but it's really not. It's all lighting. It's all lighting. People don't believe everything you see on television. I will be endowing my two witnesses and they will be prophesying 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. You know how much I love that. I would am considering getting a sackcloth outfit. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands which stand in sight of the Lord of the earth. Two olive trees. Well, the figure of the olive tree is a familiar one to the student of Scripture. It is a symbol of divine illumination because all the light in the tabernacle, apart from that Shekinah glory which glowed in the holy place apart from any source of earthly light, came from the olive oil. The olive oil. And Israel is God's witness on the earth. God's witness. There was always a light. So in a sense, the light in the temple was God's witness. A symbol of divine illumination, right? The olive oil is literal illumination. Light. The symbolic illumination would be wisdom and knowledge of God. And check me if I'm wrong on this. All illumination we have of the knowledge of God has come from Israel. Jews did it. Jews gave it to us. Jews wrote the scriptures. God gave them the oracles, the divine revelation. You say, well, no, Paul wrote to the nations, but Paul was a Jew. Was he not? Yes. So the Jews have been the penmen of God's mind. And so it is not unusual that they should be figured as olive branches, olive trees, olive anything. Because again, the olive was crushed to bring the oil, to bring the light. And you can either have the literal light or the figurative light. When people get an idea, a light bulb appears over their heads. In many cartoons, this is a literal light used to illustrate figurative light, the light of an idea or of wisdom or of knowledge. And it comes from the Jews. But here's the thing. This is true of them nationally, but while they were in apostasy, read Romans chapter 11 on this, the nations took their place. This is the branches of the tree. There was a branch lopped off and the nations were grafted on. This has to do with the testimony. This has to do with witnesses. Now, because we're getting to the topic of the two witnesses. While Israel is apostate these last 2,000 years, the nations have taken their place as far as witness bearing goes. The nations have printed the Bibles, and even though most of their commentaries and their ideas and their doctrines are wrong, there's still a witness of God in Christ in the world today. And from among the nations come the body of Christ. That's you and me. And you know me, I make sense for a living. So I am a faithful witness, and many of you are faithful witnesses among the nations, but the nations as a whole are general witnesses, the fact that they publish Bibles and whatnot, but they are basically failures. Now, as you know, the true witnesses, you and me, were the only ones telling the truth today in the world. And that sounds outrageous. A handful of people are telling the truth in the world. We are now God's witnesses. There's more than two of us. There may be 22. I'm a little bit exaggerating. I'll get in trouble for saying that. Someone will say, Sanders saying there's only 22 people in the body of Christ. I know, that's what they say. People get excited. I'm getting excited about people getting excited. I've never said that, but I said it's a low number. But anyway, we're the only ones giving the truth. And we are going to be taken away to meet Christ in the air, called the snatching away. And at that point, where are the witnesses on the earth? There are no more witnesses. But then God is going to eventually return to Israel, and they are going to be witnesses for the 1,000 years, right? Yes. Read Romans chapter 11. It will detail for you this exciting scenario, this exciting progression of things that will happen that I am giving you right now. So, let's review. Israel's the light of the world. They screwed up. They're in apostasy right now for 2,000 years. So in the meantime, God has borrowed the nations and they're the light of the world. Paul explains this on a national level in Romans chapter 11. Israel has been cast aside. The natural boughs have been cut off. Other branches have been grafted on to that root. The root is Israel. All the writers were Israelite. And the nations, as nations, will be lopped off. Not as individuals. Romans 11 is about nations, not individuals. Anyway, we of the body of Christ are faithful dispensers of what Israel's supposed to be dispensing. But Israel is eventually going to dispense it. Now, in the interim between the time that we're taken away, snatched away, and when Israel is restored, when the natural branches come back onto the root of the tree. In the interim are the two witnesses of the unveiling chapter 11. Isn't this great of God, I think, to provide witnesses always? Never goes without. Always has faithful testimony. And there are three big areas here we need to be concerned with. Israel, the original penmen, when they were faithful and they were recording Isaiah, Jeremiah, the prophets, Paul, Peter, John, they're all writing Luke, they're writing all Jews, they're all writing the scriptures. Then comes the apostasy, and Israel is cast aside temporarily. And so in the interim, now the body of Christ comes in, and for the most part, they're a bunch of Looney Tunes. Yeah, they invent the printing press, that's fantastic. Gutenberg. And we print Bibles, that's fantastic. But most of the commentary on it is false. But God does not leave himself without true witness, because he then raises up geniuses like me and you. And I'll get in trouble for that too, but that's okay. I'm going to let it ride. And we testify. When we're gone, and in between the time we're gone and the coming of the kingdom, the two witnesses are on the stage of history, and God will still have an accurate testimony. This is part of the evidence I gravitate to believe that the body of Christ will be snatched away before the tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, the latest period we could be snatched away is in the middle of that last 7-year period. At the 3.5-year mark. That's the latest. Okay, but I would say for sure here, before the two witnesses. Because the two witnesses will be God filling in the blank left by our departure. That makes a lot of sense to me. But as you know, I make sense for a living.